Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, to be clear, I thought he'd make a trade. All right, I did. And I'm disappointed that they didn't. There's not, you know, the going back to the beginning of the season to where they were and where they are now, do I feel better or worse about their Super Bowl chances? I feel slightly worse about their Super Bowl chances. But seasons are long, and if you're going to tell me that they're going to be healthy when the playoffs roll around, and, you know, double and triple check today on Mahogany. There's a chance that Mahogany will be back in the interior of the offensive line. The offensive line has struggled a couple weeks in a row here. But I love the guy that's in charge here, and that is Hank Fraley. And I still believe in Tate Ratledge. And, you know, there's other reasons why we shouldn't give up on the season. But I feel like some people have it. Gator, I really feel like some people have.
Oh, that, I think people are, I don't know if they've given up on the season, but people have, they're devastated that they didn't do anything. And I'm not sure those people should feel devastated. Feel how you will. I'm just not sure you should.
Yeah.
I understand disappointment because I share the disappointment. Am I bitterly disappointed? No, I'm not bitterly disappointed, but I'm disappointed because I thought there was this real opportunity for them to go out and solidify the roster. And was it as obvious of a need as there was last year to get an edge rusher after Hutchinson was out? No. But I think it's close. When you see it's not quite a revolving door of offensive linemen right now, but it's getting to close to be that. I mean, guys are getting hurt all over the place, and Decker is just the walking wounded every single week, and he's missed a couple games already, and, you know, he dinged up again in a different spot with now it's a knee injury he's dealing with. To hear that Penei Sewell got banged up in the game and he didn't miss a snap, but he may or may not play on Sunday against Washington. And that's a major concern because that guy is the offensive line. That's the identity of the offensive line, is number 58. So not getting somebody else that can help solidify that kind of bothers me a little bit. But I also understand what I don't know. What I don't know is the big thing is that nobody else knows. I don't know who was truly available from the teams that were going to be dealing players. I don't know what the asking price was for players that the Lions coveted from those teams. I have no idea what the asking price was.
It could get reported, in which case, you know, we'll have more information. I think Brad Holmes, I think some of the disappointment that Brad Holmes, that people might feel with Brad Holmes, has a lot to do with Scott Harris and Steve Yzerman. I think it's a cumulative pile on effect that makes you that amps up in your disappointment in the Lions doing nothing, and they did nothing, and I'm disappointed that they did nothing because it didn't seem, you know, I guess they determined, and I'm sitting here because you go, okay, Why do otherwise logical people do things that you don't think make sense, right? If the players that they negotiated and tried to get from other teams, and let's say they had teams on the line for a guard or a center or whatever, and they were like, okay, we think Owasika is better than this guy. Why would we trade for him? Why would we give up a future number, a second round pick for him? Right? If that's what it was like, then I wouldn't make that trade either. And would I try to hold the Lions over a barrel a little bit if I were another team? Yeah, especially if it's for a starting caliber guard. I mean, you go, well, how come they didn't go get Zeitler? Because Tennessee is a rookie quarterback. They're trying not to get killed. They're trying to develop him, and part of that is give him a fighting chance. And so there's a number of factors here that could have shut down any realistic trade talks. On a scale of 1 to 10, in terms of level of disappointment, where 10 would be like gravely disappointed and 1 would be like, it's fine. I don't care at all. I still think they're fine. I'm probably at about a 3.5 or 4.
Oh.
Yep. Is that higher or lower than you?
I'm at like a 6.
Oh, okay. But what, and another reason that kind of dilutes my disappointment is there isn't one trade that happened yesterday that I desperately wish the Lions made. I went through all 21 that took place in the trade deadline and leading up to the trade deadline. The ones that I might have got in on was, and again, these aren't earth-shattering moves. What I have hated, them giving up a future six-round pick 2 drafts from now for a tackle, Trevor Penning, that the Chargers trade for. I wouldn't have hated that. It's something to keep in mind, though, that Penning has been moved. He's played tackle and guard, and he's been average as a guard, okay? The scouting report on him is average as a guard. Do they think they have an average guard in-house that knows the offense that is as good? So why do it? It's possible. I would have been interested in that. There's something about the trade that Seattle made for Rashid Shaheed for a 4th and a 5th that I'm kind of in that third wide receiver camp. And offense wins championships, and I think he is a talent, a big talent. It's kind of a steep price to pay for who he is. I kind of would have been intrigued by that. There's no doubt. And there was one more in all 21. Give me a second. Here we go. I think Keon White, the edge rusher from the Patriots. Keon White and a 7th for a 6th. So basically, you're giving up your 6th and turning it into a 7th and getting Keon White, who's been a healthy scratch, but in the past has been productive for New England. I don't think that's any price to pay to get a player that's been good in the past that might be able to help you. Those are the 3 trades that I think I could see the Lions have making that they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And for me, it's probably 3 trades that we didn't see because we have no idea. And that's the bummer of it, that you don't know what was available because it was underwhelming. Look, there were a couple of blockbusters that were made yesterday. Jets turned a couple of blockbuster trades, and good for the Jets. They're doing the total rebuild, and they should. But would I love to get Sauce Gardner? Sure. For 2 first-round picks and a player? No, not so much, because it would also cost you one of your players down the road, whether it's Brian Branch or whatever.
Because you wouldn't be able to resign.
Because you wouldn't be able to resign you're taking on a contract from Sauce Gardner. Now there's upside too, because Sauce Gardner is one of the best in the game at what he does. Quinnen Williams going to Dallas is another big move. Would I have done that? No, because there's not the need at defensive tackle. Quinnen Williams is outstanding. Might be the best defensive tackle in the game, but that's not the need. The need for this team is on offensive line. And then secondarily to that would be having a player in the secondary, and then back up to that is probably another edge rusher. So, you know, down the list of priorities, it was only one offensive lineman was traded. You know, should the Lions have offered more for that player? I don't know about that. Like you said, maybe what they have in-house is actually better than that. Owusika and I think Mahogany were competing for a starting job. So if it was close, then they already have that guy in-house, and you're going to go with it and say, okay, we'll take our chances here. But it's the tackle position that has me concerned, because I don't see Taylor Decker getting healthier. Well, I think he's going to have to. I think he's a real tough player, and I think that he's a good player. But but he's going to play hurt the rest of the way, and it's a pain tolerance thing, and it's going to be a thing where maybe they have to rest him for a game here and there down the stretch to ensure that he's ready to go for the playoffs, and that has me concerned.
Thomas in Detroit, you're on 97. Oh, Thomas, you're not on 97.1 The Ticket. You got us on hold. As far as Decker's concerned, I'm not against a maintenance week. I'm not against, hey, we're going to sit you out a week or two here to try and get you healthy. And that is something that I think they need to consider. I got some data here, okay? I got some data that might make you feel a little bit better about them not making a move. We'll get to that today at 10:20. College football blitz thingy coming up today at 10:30. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer for 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, the one good thing about this is we all have a commonality, all of us. The people that call up, the people that are driven crazy by what you believe or what I believe, what Kang believes, or what anybody believes, we all have a commonality. We all want the same thing. We want the Lions to win the Super Bowl, right?
True.
That is a commonality. Now, where we differ is how to get there. So, you know, can they win the Super Bowl still? Is the season still worth watching? The top priority, you think about how we went into the season, we were talking about what they can add. And you realize how strong a chance they had when you start to lose some guys at a position. And they've lost one along the offensive line. Others need to play better. I still think the learning curve for Tate Ratledge is steep. And I think he's shown enough good play to believe that he can be a solution in-house this season. Glasgow, you know, I hope he can do the job. You're not going to have a pro bowler at every position. That's clear. What you hope is that a guy cannot be a weakness. And then Mahogany. Mahogany's going to come back. Here's the data that can help. First of all, everything is predicated on something you brought up already, and that's Penei Sewell and Decker staying healthy. It's almost at a point to me that they're like Goff. that if they're lost for the season, then you probably are done or close to done. But them being as close to healthy is one of the non-negotiables that I think we can have 100% agreement on. Question is, can they be good with what they have left? I went back and looked at the games some of their depth guys that might be counted on played last year. And some of the big names are Coyote, Owosika, and Dan Skipper. Owosika played in two games in 2024 where it looked like he played every offensive snap. So either came in early or started and played. They were both against good teams, Seattle and Minnesota, and the Lions won both games with Owosika starting and playing at guard.
I believe he also started in the NFC Championship game.
I'm not sure about that. I didn't see that on his game log, but maybe I missed it. The other one's Dan Skipper. Dan Skipper started and played the entire game. I don't know if he started. It looks like he played the entire game or the bulk of the game at tackle in a win over a good Green Bay team last year. So why do they believe in their guys in-house? Well, those guys in-house have started and played and in big games in the past, games that they won. Do I wish they upgraded? Sure. You can't ever, as a GM, not look at every possibility to upgrade. But those guys have started and played in games that the Lions won big games, not over chump teams, big games. So take it for what it's worth. You can use that information and say, oh, that's awesome, and I feel a little bit better. Or you can blow it off and say, no, they still suck. I'm encouraged by that. If you go back and look how those guys were used in the past, when called up for duty, did the team have success? And the answer was yes.
And Owosika did start against San Francisco in that NFC Championship game.
A couple years ago. That's why I didn't see it, because it was two years ago.
So he's got experience. There's no question. Like I said earlier, I mean, he's competing for that job with Mahogany for the starter's job this year. I don't have much of an issue at all with Owosika. I think they clearly have confidence in Coyote to get the job done. I'm worried about the tackles. And maybe I shouldn't be worried at all about Penei Sewell.
You mean their health?
Yeah. That's where I'm worried about it. Because if there was an opportunity, and this, like, just answer my own question. If there was an opportunity to upgrade at tackle, go do it. You know, an upgrade meaning on your roster, doesn't have to be upgrade over Taylor Decker necessarily, because I think Decker's really good. But if he's not going to be healthy enough to play, then I need somebody who's better than the next option, which is, you know, Dan Skipper, likely. Is that there? Was that available in trade? And if it wasn't, then it wasn't. Fair enough. I can say that, okay, because that was really the number one priority for me.
Yeah.
That you had to find a lineman of some kind that was going to be better than what your options were as guys that have to step in and be next man up. The other thing, and touching on it briefly yesterday, and I know people want to compare what Philadelphia does to what the Lions do, because Philadelphia has won Super Bowls and they've been ultra aggressive when it comes to trades and things of that nature, and, you know, figuring out their salary cap and whatnot. And I think there is something to when you move your picks. Philadelphia likes to move the draft picks at the trade deadline. The Lions like to move their draft picks on draft day.
That's true.
And I wonder if that's just a principle that Brad Holmes has, or if it's just a coincidence that's when he does it, or if this is just an ever-changing and evolving philosophy that he has as a general manager. But there's been an awful lot of movement that he's done in the draft, some of it really good, and some of it very questionable. And then when it comes to the trade deadline, when you see players that are dealt for third round picks or fourth round picks, and the Lions don't have them because they trade them on trade deadline on draft day, then he doesn't
have the ammunition to move as much on trade day because he likes to use it on draft day. But
and until they win a Super Bowl, it's going to be a criticism.
Yep. And by the way, moving draft picks for Isaac Tesla was one of the most popular things throughout the preseason. It slowly lost steam because we haven't seen Tesla much.
Right. And the one thing you'll never know is, you know, how valued was Tesla from other teams? Did the Lions need to move up to get him?
Yep.
They certainly felt like they needed to, and they've had a couple players that they've drafted that they felt like they needed to that have been projects, whether it's Tesla or Giovanni Manu. I think they moved up to take Broderick Martin as well. And so far, the results are not very good on those three players. Not that I think Tesla has a really bright future. I think he can be a really good receiver. But he's got to get on the field to do it.
Feedback coming in. David Benton Harbor says, let's not act like we all know more than Brad or Dan. Just a few weeks ago, everyone was saying we were toast with our banged up secondary before the Tampa game and that Brad failed to address this more in the offseason. Well, they worked the backups into the system and had a week to get them ready. And how did that turn out? How about we do the same? How about they say, who says they can't do the same rather with their offensive line backups? And they have in the past with their offensive line backups. They've won games with Owasika, big games with Owasika, and Dan Skipper playing a lot of snaps, if not starting. I think they started all three of those games I mentioned. Kang, your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm very disappointed that the Lions didn't do much or anything at the trade deadline because I thought there was plenty of areas where they could help improve this team, especially with all the injuries. Number one being the offensive line that you guys have spoken of. Trevor Penning, the trade from the Saints, the guard tackle to the Chargers, for a sixth-round pick 2 years from now is a trade I definitely would have done on paper. Now, of course, Brad Holmes and his scouts have the film. They broke it down. Maybe they didn't like Trevor Penning at all. And I can, you know, understand that. He just seemed to me like a guy on paper who's now playing guard. He was drafted a first-round pick in 2022 as a tackle, now playing guard. But to me, that tells me that he's versatile enough to play inside out if they need to. You're not going to get a clear upgrade out there unless you're willing to give up the draft capital for it. And clearly, Brad Holmes is not going to do that. He's not going to pull off a Sauce Gardner deal for a guard or a tackle. It's just not worth it for him. And I get that. What you're trying to do is get better backups, better depth, right? I thought Trevor Penning was a deal that we know that happened that maybe the Lions could have got involved in. Deals that we don't know that could have happened or not, the guard Evan Neal from the Giants. He also drafted as a tackle, hasn't worked out. But
he went untraded.
Yeah, he didn't get traded, though, so I don't know what the asking there was. And also, I don't know if they just don't like him. They saw the film, said, he's not better than what we have on this team. Right now, we know the interior of the offensive line of the Lions is in kind of disarray with the Frank Ragnow retirement, the injuries, and just young guys playing that position. That's why everyone's really concerned that they didn't do anything there. With all that being said, here's my unpopular opinion. I trust Brad Holmes. I just do. And he's not going to get a trade for a position just to trade for a position, just like he doesn't draft for positions. They trade and draft and acquire players. And if they don't like the players that are out there compared to the players they already have on their roster, they're just not going to do it. I still think this team is one of the best teams in the NFL, and I still think they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I know it sounds crazy, people, but I do think they're that good. They've got to shore up the middle of that offensive line, though, because Jared Goff needs protection. He needs time, and because when he has it, we know how good he can be.
Well, I hope this. I hope that the solutions that they have when it comes to the offensive line play, I hope not only is it A, in-house, but I hope B, more importantly, that it's just simply looking at technique and communication and perhaps, you know, tightening up the playbook and making sure the guys aren't trying to do things that are too difficult for them based on defenses you're facing, whatever. I hope that they can maybe simplify things just to get this thing back under control where they're able to run the football. Running the football is the lifeblood for this football team.
Yep.
It absolutely is. And the offensive line is not what it was last year. It's different. And it has a chance to be good, but right now it's in a little disarray because there are injuries involved. And, you know, you still have some on-the-job learning from a couple of the players. So I really hope that solution that they have is in-house and it wasn't a missed opportunity to go ahead and give up something you're not comfortable with giving up, which would have been a higher draft pick, to acquire a player that would really improve the roster.
College Football Blitz thingy is straight ahead here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. We'll get back to your phone calls and feedback. Obviously, a lot of people sounding off on the lack of movement at the trade deadline, and we, for the record, are both disappointed. There's various degrees of disappointment, and some people are outraged, and others are, and we're both kind of in the camp. But you're a little bit more disappointed than I am. But, you know, it's stated for the record, disappointed, but I'm not angry, and I'm still going to watch the season for what it's worth. And Gator, I believe you are too.
Yeah, that's true.
Ready for the blitz thingy?
Sure.
All right. Heads or tails, Gator?
I would go with heads.
He goes with heads, and it is a tail. So I'll receive. I'll go first today.
All right. There you go, Cross Dog. Let's go. Question number one. UCLA guys, they're trying to move their home games to SoFi Stadium. Would this help kickstart that program?
I think it would help. It would cut the distance in half. And I think they get a bit of a bump from fans who want to, you know, go for curiosity's sake. What's funny is UCLA is like the Rams. Other schools can take over the Rose Bowl. I'm not so sure fans would be, Midwest fans would be excited to fly across country to go to SoFi like they are to go to the Rose Bowl and take that stadium over. But, I mean, they have a contract with the Rose Bowl till 2044, and the Rose Bowl isn't letting them go without a fight. And they're arguing breach of contract, and they invested $150 million in the stadium. I think what UCLA needs to do is they have an on-campus stadium, Drake Stadium, which is used for soccer and track and field. It seats 11,000, and it's archaic, okay? Use that site and build an on-campus stadium. It would cost a ton of money, and there's a logistical problems, but until they do that, I think SoFi would get a little bump, but I don't know if it would help that much. It's closer, but I don't know if it would help that much. I guess my answer is really no until they build that stadium where Drake Stadium is.
I think it definitely helps out. It's a professional stadium. It's an upgraded stadium. They need to do updates to the Rose Bowl. And that's just, it seems, I don't even want to denigrate by saying it's lipstick on a pig because that's not right. It's a beautiful place. It's an amazing setting. I love it out
it's
there.
It's a beautiful pig.
It's a beautiful pig. But the reality is SoFi Stadium is amazing. Absolutely amazing. if I were a high school player, I would be thrilled to death to be able to play my home games in that stadium where not one but two professional teams play. I think it's a big selling point.
This would not hurt at all. And I love new progressive type ideas like this. For UCLA, they should definitely do this. In today's college football, most kids are looking for that next level anyways, getting to the pros. And why? What better way than just to play in a pro stadium right away, right, guys? Plus, I think you're right, Doug, the attendance would get somewhat of a bump, and that would help, you know, just more energy for the students, for the games, all that stuff. Imagine this would work for even the new coach that they're going to have to get after the season here. All right, the first college football rankings came out Tuesday night. What did the committee get right, and what did the committee get wrong?
I think they got the top four teams right. I have no quarrel at all with how they're ranked right now. I think when you talk about what they got wrong, I just don't like to see a million SEC teams all bunched up together, because I think it just buys into this narrative that they set up, and I don't think it's right. There's seven SEC teams lined up in the top 12, which seems a bit insane to me. Actually, it might be six in the top 12. Here's the good news. It all sorts itself out. Over the next few weeks, I don't think anybody has any reason to be complaining about the first one. Don't do that. Let it play out, because there's plenty of matchups that are going to take place over the next few weeks that are really going to determine what happens. You'll see two lost teams turn into three lost teams and knock themselves out of the top 12, and then you'll see one lost teams or a two-loss team that has a win over a one-loss team that puts them up. Everything works itself out.
Yeah, any angst now is wasted, because you're mostly right. What they got right is Texas Tech and Texas A&M are on the opposite sides of the bracket, which keeps my bold-ass prediction alive that Texas Tech and Texas A&M will battle for the Natty. What they got wrong, Notre Dame is 6-2 and at number 10. Miami is 6-2 with a victory over Notre Dame, and they are number 18. The Irish have one quality win at home against USC, and they have two losses, one by 3 points at Miami and at home against Texas A&M. I don't know how I could see making an argument for Notre Dame ahead of Miami because of Miami's bad losses, but a difference between 10 and 18, that seems something's wrong there.
I think overall they did get the top 12 teams right. I hear the argument Notre Dame, Miami, Doug, that makes sense. But like you guys also agree with me on this, is it really doesn't matter right now. This is just all for, honestly, just to help market the college football and just get us talking and you know, debating, and which they are doing right now. I think they, like I said, overall got the top 12 right. But I think they got the number one team wrong. I think Texas A&M should actually be the number one team as far as today we speak for college football rankings, but this will all change. It will all sort itself out, but that's the only thing I would have changed, is Texas A&M would be number one in my book. All right, Wisconsin plays Washington this weekend. Guys, where would you rather go to school, Madison or Seattle?
So Big Ten campuses are great, and I've been to all of them for a football game with one exception, and that is Oregon. I've been to Oregon's campus, and I've been to their football stadium. I wasn't there for a game. I think you can make a strong argument that these are the best two, Washington and Wisconsin, the best campuses. And if you want to fight about this, we can step outside. Two of my kids got accepted to both those schools, and I went and visited them, Wisconsin and Washington, and was ready to commit. I mean, they're both beautiful. But if I have to pick one, this is tough. It's Madison. I'd rather be in Madison than Seattle, but Seattle's pretty great.
Look, I've never been to Seattle, full disclosure. Never been there, only read about it, seen stuff on it. You know, apparently there's a fish market, a coffee shop or two. I have been to Madison, and I had an amazing time in Madison. And one of the reasons I had an amazing time, another full disclosure moment, I have two cousins that live there that I'm close to. So, I really like Madison. I like the whole town is amazing. It's a beautiful campus. There's a couple of lakes that are right there that are great. And I'm not counting on like a million days of rain like you do in dreary old Seattle. Yeah. And I don't drink coffee. So it really doesn't appeal to me that much. Would I like to go to a game there? Sure. Go to school there? I don't want to go to school anywhere. I'm done with school. All right? But if I had to do my time over again, I'd want to do it in Madison and not in Seattle.
So here's a third perspective. I've been to neither college campuses, okay? I've been to both states, but nothing to do with college football. With that being said, I mean, I'm sure Camp Randall, Wisconsin's campus is amazing. That's what everyone says. The draw seems to be all the time. Everyone tells me the drinking. I feel like you can drink at any major university, especially in the Big Ten, which is, you know, where Washington is now. Washington is the choice for me. You don't have to drink coffee, Gator. I know it sounds crazy, but you can go there and not drink coffee, and I think you can still enjoy yourself. Yeah. I'll take the Pacific Northwest, and I think the views are incredible. Doug, you've been there, obviously. Yep. The water right there next to the stadium, amazing. I'm taking Washington. All right, UConn's quarterback is in his seventh year of college football. What is your reaction to something like this?
Joe Fagnano is the quarterback's name. 6'4", 225-pound senior. I feel like it shouldn't say senior. I feel like it should say doctoral candidate because 7 years, dude, 7 years. He started his first 4 years at Maine, or actually his first 4 years of his college journey were spent at Maine. Obviously, there's some injuries that took place. He's got the stupid COVID year also. My reaction is it's absolutely flat-out ridiculous that the college athlete is still able to compete after their seventh year on a campus. I think it's dumb as all hell. That being said, when you look at what Fagnano has done, in the last 2 years while at UConn, he has thrown for 42 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. This year, he's got 22 touchdowns and 0 picks, and he's thrown for 2,500 yards while completing nearly 70% of his passes. Is this guy actually going to be a possible professional candidate? Is this a Chris Winkie plan? What's going on here?
Okay, I think it's fine. I watched Daquan Finn, the quarterback from Miami of Ohio, last night. He was at Toledo for 5 years and 1 year at Baylor. He's in his seventh year. Of his previous 6, only 3 years were not redshirt years, injury or otherwise. So of all the changes to the college game, guys playing into their seventh year when they've had injuries is way down the list of changes that bother me. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think if I had taken over the czar of college football, I say you get 5 years max no matter what. I don't care if you're hurt, you're transferred, whatever it is. You get 5 years, and then you're done. He's not a seventh-year senior, Gator. He's a seventh-year senior citizen. And if college football wants to start a new power conference, how about the AARP for all these old guys? All right, guys, it's our weekly pick an upset in the top 25 this weekend.
Okay, I'm not sure I love any upset, but the one I'm eyeing, the ranked team that better show up, Oregon is at Iowa. Cross country, Iowa was 6-2. And if they beat Oregon, I think they move up into the playoff ranking. Do they basically pilfer Oregon's spot in the playoff? And Kinnick is a very tough place to play. So if forced, I'll take Iowa over Oregon.
Yeah, I was eyeballing that one too, but I went with a different matchup. It's a nooner, and that may play against it, but I'm still going to stick with it. BYU is number 7 in the country. They're taking on number 8, Texas Tech. Texas Tech's the home team, and Texas Tech is favored by 10.5 points in this game. I like the Cougars. They're getting the running back for this game. They're undefeated. They see themselves well outside of the top 4, and they probably feel like they're not getting any respect. Go earn yourself some respect and go knock off Texas Tech on Saturday afternoon.
Doug, that beautiful bald head is onto something. I like Iowa over Oregon as well, man. I always talk about it, you know, traveling coast to coast or cross country for the new Big Ten, for whoever's going the furthest, they're at a clear disadvantage. Doesn't mean they're always going to lose, but I think they're not going to play up to their normal standards, and I think that happens this weekend. 6.5-point dog, I think that's not a big number either. I think Vegas knows something. I like Iowa to pull this one out. Our last one, guys. Which program will fill its coaching vacancy first, and with whom?
I see a team like Virginia Tech that is probably a hot commodity among coaches because of the fact it's in the ACC, and the ACC might be an easier path to get to a college football playoff position. And then I start thinking, well, who would fit there? Probably somebody who might have some ties to the East Coast, maybe somebody who's from that area of town. Okay, check. Somebody who still relatively young and has had success in their coaching career. Yeah, okay, this person's 53. Check. How about somebody that maybe money doesn't matter as much because they just got a massive buyout from the previous stop? Check. I think it's James Franklin to Virginia Tech. I think that would make sense. If I were Virginia Tech, I'd try to lock it up right now, get it done, and let's get a head start on recruiting and looking at the portal and getting everything, all your ducks in a row.
Gator, I 100% agree with you, James Franklin of Virginia Tech. And I'll just quickly say, to sum it up, ask yourself this question. How would Penn State football do with a healthy Drew Aller in the ACC this year?
Yeah.
I think they'd like that. I think they'd like that a lot. So James Franklin of Virginia Tech's the one that makes the most sense.
Come on, guys. Let's go more exciting. I'm going completely off the board here. UCLA with Mike McDaniel when he gets fired from the Dolphins job. All right, he's a California guy, and he's clearly not a pro coach. He can't lead men. He's just that's the issue with him. But can he lead young men? He might actually relate with those guys more. Mike McDaniel, UCLA. And plus, he'll be playing in SoFi. He's familiar.
There you go. Love it. And that concludes the college football blitz thingy. Straight ahead, we'll get back to your phone calls, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey.
You know, it's funny. I was looking up, just follow up on the blitz thingy. UCLA will go from being, if they move their games to SoFi, they go from being like 23 miles away from the Rose Bowl to 7 miles away from SoFi Stadium. So 7 miles in L.A., it only take UCLA students like an hour and 15 minutes to get right there.
It is unbelievable.
It is. L.A. traffic is just...
For people that haven't been there, it's insane. The amount, and it doesn't stop.
No.
It's from like 6 in the morning until 8 at night.
I had, as I've told, I've had relatives that live in San Diego, and one of them, Cousin Vicky, had to do work in L.A. And to avoid traffic, she would leave San Diego at like 3 every morning. She'd get up and drive to L.A.
And it's like 2-hour drive or something, not even, yeah.
Yep, so she wouldn't spend her whole day in her car. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, my best friend lives out in L.A., and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy talk.
Yep. Let's get back to your phone call. Steve in Canton, you're on 97.1. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, I had called a little while back, and I'm making reference. It's just so funny that when we make the statements about where they at and what's needed, when I hear you guys talk to them and they say how they project it, and you're saying that they like one offensive player only want, and they rely on what they got. And I think that everybody going to see it from their standpoint, but the reality is it's just like chess to me. How do you stay where you at when you're trying to chase somebody that's above you and get to the level they at? So if I'm looking at Philadelphia, and even before the season started, we still wasn't above them to win the Super Bowl. We figured we had to beat them, dethrone them. And if we're not going to beat them in regular season, what makes us think we're going to beat them when they count? And if we're using the players that we already got and they haven't proven themselves.
Well, we're going to find out, Steve. We're going to find out in 2 weeks because the Lions play a Sunday night football game in Philly in 2 weeks. And that's a decent measurement as to where you stand against Philly. And, you know, Philly has had their ups and downs this year. They did trade. I probably could include Philly as far as a team that made a deal that I'm a little bit jealous of. Getting Jalen Phillips wasn't insignificant. That could help them. There's no question. We'll see. He hasn't done much this year, but he seems like a player that has an upside that could do well on a better team.
Yeah, but when you guys make these statements to see it in that point, help me to understand. The last week, the week before, when our second backup unit came and they played like they were starters.
Yeah.
And you're saying this team, oh man, they got everything. Then they turn around and just completely look like a total different team, just like every other team in the NFL. So even if they beat
week.
That doesn't mean that they're going to be the team that we...
Of course not. Steve, like, there's nothing, there's no guarantee. Look, appreciate the phone call. There's no guarantees. There are no guarantees. You can't make a trade and guarantee anything. And it sounds like that's what you're looking for. they could have boosted the resume in some way. What we don't know is what cost. At what cost? What made Brad Holmes? And I, like today, I kind of would love to hear Brad. I would love to hear Brad Holmes speak, but I wouldn't. Because I think when Brad Holmes gets defensive, I get irritated with him. He doesn't need to be defensive. And I've heard him get very defensive. I would like to know that he was aggressively pursuing deals. I'd feel a lot better if I knew that he was going all in this year, but just couldn't pry away the players that we thought could help this team. I would like to hear that. I don't know if that's the case. I'm disappointed as well. But I also, still think they can win the NFC? Yeah.
I think they're going to be kicking themselves for what happened on Sunday against Minnesota, and hopefully not for too long.
In what regard?
There were so many missed opportunities. That was a defensive effort that really wasn't that bad.
No, there was some.
It was a lot of short fields for Minnesota. And, you know, the Vikings went 3 of 5, I think, from the red zone, which is a testament to the defense. Maybe the goal line stand was pretty great. Mm-hmm. But they shot themselves in the foot. You can't fumble the ball when you're running for a first down. You can't drop passes that are catchable. You know, mistakes made on the offensive line that allowed constant pressure on your quarterback. There were a ton of mistakes, and yes, the referees played a role in it too. And but that's not why they lost. They lost because they themselves made too many mistakes, and they only lost by 3 points. This was a winnable game, and they didn't win it. And hopefully it's not one that cost them a chance at winning the division and getting home field advantage for a game or two in the playoffs. But it is one that's going to sting. Moving forward, as far as this roster is concerned, it was an amazing effort they put forth against the Bucs with that secondary. No question about it. Do I think that was sustainable? No, I don't. That's not what I wanted to see for the rest of the year, is constantly relying on backup players. And this is why I'm disappointed with this trade deadline. It comes and goes, and they didn't add a player that really could have helped out and fortified the offensive line, which is, I think it's a problem right now. I think it was a concern going into the season when you had new guys there, starting a new right guard, and you're starting basically a rookie at left guard too in Mahogany, and then you lost Frank Ragnow, so you got a whole new center there, even though we've seen them at play center, and he's okay, but it's a clear drop-off. It might be a drop-off at all three positions, but I like the... Like you said, the learning curve could be steep for Tate Ratledge. And I think you're right. I think it is steep. But that's steep when you hear that. I don't think people understand it. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It means that his ceiling is high. It's really high. He's got to keep climbing towards it. And I think he's going to get gains every week. He's going to learn something every week, which would be great. I'm just wondering, is he going to stay at right guard? Is he going to be the center for this team moving forward? Does it even matter?
No,
did that play a role into why they did or didn't make a move?
How they play yesterday? The next 2 months. I mean, there's... Progress isn't always linear. You do take steps back, and it's still a developing group. But 248-539-9797. Kate, I want to know how important this is to you, because I'm struggling with something and it's bothering me, and I want to know how much you, Kang, you as well. If either of you are like me when it pertains to this real life event.
What about Two Cuts?
We'll have to have a talk with Two Cuts. Two Cuts did something today that we were like, "What are you doing?"
Boat.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off the air. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.